you have a Bible, as we invite the children to Cranbrook Alliance Kids, you can go, kids, if you haven't snuck out ahead of time. Cranbrook Alliance Kids, you can go. Thanks, teachers and leaders. If you have your Bible and or your device, we'll be looking at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 today. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, if you want to locate that. Colossians, a letter that God inspired the Apostle Paul to write to the church in a city called Colossae. So come, Spirit of the living God, we ask that you would address us significantly on this Thanksgiving Day, this Sunday, where we need to be encouraged and hear from you. He was a task-oriented man on a mission. Busy. He traveled a lot. He made it his business to try to destroy this new movement where people were following someone named Jesus from Nowheresville, Nazareth. Made it his business to be zealous. He didn't have, I would not say he was a man who had a heart overflowing with thanksgiving. It didn't appear that that was his MO. His heart was overflowing with zeal, and he had a real passion for the law of God. He kept busy at that, defending that. He's kind of a warrior for God's law, and he thought that these upstarts were corrupting this, and so he went about trying to get rid of them. How does a guy move from being Saul, this man, bent on ridding the earth of this movement, to somebody who said that one's heart could overflow with thankfulness, who went from hating these people to loving them and the Lord that they declared? What dominates your story this morning? What dominates? Is it anxiety, perhaps? What dominates your story? Is it fear? Is it frustration? Maybe petulance sometimes? What dominates your story? Is it Thanksgiving? Saul is traveling north one day on a mission again to get rid of this movement, to harass, arrest, persecute anybody who followed Jesus. And Jesus himself appeared to Paul, Saul, rather, at that time. We know him as the Apostle Paul. Appeared to Saul in such glorious brilliance that Saul was blinded physically, but his spiritual eyes began to open that day as he encountered Jesus Christ. And many things began to change for him at that moment. He became, as we know, a messenger for the Christ whose name he had tried to destroy. He's translated, transformed. And he wanted everybody to understand that Christ was the one who unlocked the meaning of life. He said of Christ that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so Paul encouraged everyone who believes in Jesus with this message in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. As I read this and prepared for this Thanksgiving Sunday, I thought, I can't say that I naturally overflow with thankfulness. Maybe you do. I'd like to learn more from you. But I'm thankful, of course. I have so many things to be thankful for. I've been kind of listing them in my head. But I also experience, you know, frustration and excitement about what God is doing. I feel angry sometimes, and I feel hopeful about God's kindness. And then I feel like a failure, and then I see him do something that's successful, and it's the best day of my life because it's the one I get. It's God's gift. But how do you overflow with thankfulness, and how do you get toward that? Is it just a matter of always pretending everything's great, you know? How do we get toward this, and what does it mean? I read an article this week about Elvis Stoico. Elvis, as you remember, was a very gifted, talented, hardworking Canadian male figure skater, three-time world champion. And then the 1998 Olympics came, and because of injuries, he could not achieve a gold medal. And I read that after that, he felt like he had failed Canada. He felt horrible self-doubt. He's racked with this. And eventually in the early 2000s, he packed up and he moved to Mexico. He's back now in Canada years later, married a Mexican lady and moved back here. How can the gospel of Christ help him, help others, help us from despondency when we hit rough times to thankfulness? How do we do this? Brain science has been very helpful as a tool. Brain science has taught us, and the research keeps helping us understand it. You know, you can actually change your brain by how you think and the words you say. You actually change the way your brain functions. And that's a very valuable, helpful tool. And yet the change that we're encountering here is deeper than that even. As useful as that is, this is a deep change because even a champion like Elvis can feel despondent. So what's the source of thanksgiving? Our scripture again says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Just as, continue. Jesus is the road, to thanksgiving. He's the root of it too, but he's the road to thanksgiving. So the verb accepted or received literally means to take to one's side. So it's very personally saying, Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you. I'm with you. You are Lord. You're in charge of my life. How do we stay on that road to become thankful people and not discouraged people, not miserable people? You've never been miserable, though, have you? Because we're Christians. How do you stay on the road to becoming someone who's thankful? How do we do this? Well, it says that we continue in the same way as we started. How did we begin? The Apostle Paul elsewhere has said something about this. We began by accepting the truth about Jesus. Paul passed on this word about what we believed. It says, Christ died for our sins just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time and so on, and by others. We began our walk with God by accepting who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And then we began by God's power. God saved you by his grace. That's his extravagant generosity when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's the gift from God. So we began by accepting the truth about who Jesus is and what he's done for us, his death on the cross for us, his resurrection power. And we began by God's power. It was God who accepted us when we came to him and believed. He even gave us the faith to believe in the first place. We didn't begin with a degree in theology, though there's nothing wrong with higher education and learning. We didn't need that first. We didn't begin because we had some experience where we got a peek into heaven. Well, that would be nice. And the Apostle Paul writes that he did have that glimpse of glory. And some people share some remarkable experiences like that, but we didn't begin because of that. We began because of who Christ is and what he's done and his power that convinced us. And so we continue in that same simplicity. We keep on in the same simplicity with which we began. So there's only one command in these two verses, and it is continue to follow him. Continue to follow him. That's the command in the Greek language. That's the one that says, this is the imperative, do this. And so the road to thanksgiving is to just keep following the Lord Jesus. It doesn't imply that you had to do something extraordinary, but the motivation to follow him is his faithfulness to us, his goodness to us. Really, thankfulness is prompted by what God has done for us, his goodness to us. In Psalm 136, there are no less than 26 references to God's faithfulness, his unfailing love for us. For example, God, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. He remembered us in our weakness. His faithful love endures forever. He gives food to every living thing. His faithful love endures forever. So it's this enduring love of God for you and for me that prompts us to say thank you. Thanksgiving is more than a day. It is a daily walk. It's a daily walk of celebrating the love of God to you and for you. Thanksgiving is more than a day. It's a daily walk. Jesus himself is that road to thanksgiving. Our scripture, again, continues, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. So the message here then is let Jesus lead you to thanksgiving. So, I mean, we could take the assignment today as, I got to be thankful. Yeah, I'm thankful. I'm just going to get through this day because I'm thankful. Let Jesus lead you. There are a couple of parts to this verse. And the first part uses two word pictures. Roots growing down into Christ and lives being built up on him. Now, just notice the word let. Let your roots grow down into him. How many of you loved English in high school? We are a minority. Yes, I know. Look, it's okay to be a nerd, okay? I liked English. Chemistry, not so much. Owing partly to the fact that I think one day I was in chemistry and we had these long, you know, chemistry bench desks. We had a partner to work with. And we had drawers, and the drawers had drawer pulls, those sort of half-moon things, and one day I got my finger stuck in that drawer pull. I don't know why, but I was struggling to get it out of there, and finally I did, just as the teacher was wondering what was going on, and he was trying to give his lecture. He says, I'm glad you got it out of there, or I would have cut it off for you. I don't know if teachers are allowed to say that anymore. And he wasn't serious, but he was kind of stern. It was one reason I didn't love chemistry. But English, I liked English. If you remember some English lessons, you remember there's this thing called the passive voice. It means it's not your active work, it's happening to you. So it says, let your roots grow down into him. It doesn't say you must grow your roots and you must build your lives, but let your lives be built on him. In other words, God is doing this, not us. He is the active person in this. And also, more English lesson, sorry. These are participles. Remember what that meant? Doesn't matter beyond today. I know, but just bear with me because it helps us understand. They refer to the main action, which is keep following. That's the main thing. And this is how you let the roots grow down. There's another thing. The first verb, grow, in Greek is in the perfect tense. So when we use verb tense in English, we think about time. Was, is, will be. It's all about when. But in the Greek language, verb tense is kind of action. And the perfect tense meant it happened and the effect is still happening. So when you received Christ, you got roots. You got rooted in Him. Your spirit was rooted in Christ and it's still growing in Him. And then the next verb, built, is in the present tense, and in Greek, that means it's continuous action, always happening. So God is always working at rooting your spiritual life deeper in Him and building you up in Christ. That's what He does. The question then becomes, what gets in the way of that happening? Does anything get in the way to block that? Jesus illustrated things that can get in the way of that. Remember the story He told of the farmer who went out a parable. Farmer was scattering seed. The seed illustrates the Word of God, the gospel about Christ. And so he said, some of the seed fell on hard pan, you know. And he's saying, the devil came and just robbed it before these people believed. Took it away. They just didn't believe. It didn't sink in. And some had pretty shallow soil, so they accepted it at first, but then it didn't have room to root. Temptation just destroyed it, withered it. No production there in their lives. And then there were others for whom anxiety, it choked it off, and it just couldn't grow. But there were some that just embraced it and let it grow. And their lives became very productive. And good things poured out of their lives. It's lots of goodness. Not greatness, but goodness. Goodness poured out of their lives. So as the question then becomes, again, is there anything in our lives that blocks this movement toward Thanksgiving? Because it's more than a day. It's a daily walk. Things you cling to, anxieties, materialism, the stuff of this world that you worry about. What blocks it from growing? We have a small group where we're talking about how to help the poor without hurting them. And sometimes our efforts to help end up taking away their dignity, trying to take control away, and they end up worse than before. And that's what the whole material is about, helping without hurting. And one of our group members was sharing that visiting a country where people were, compared to us, remarkably poor, yet very happy and joyful, was an eye-opener and said, you know, perhaps they should come here and show us how to live for Christ because they were unencumbered by anxiety so much over materialism. So, are you letting the rooting and the building happen by simply continuing on as you began with faith in Christ and who He is? Or are you collecting junk that gets in the way? So, to let our roots keep growing and life built on Christ means letting go of the big anxiety that's crushing or the shallow commitment, perhaps, or the neglect of our spiritual disciplines where we never bother to pray, we never bother to get together with another believer and just walk through life. When I thought about Elvis Stoiko and the belief that he was such a failure when he was anything but, I wondered if there was anybody who walked through that with him and helped him. And this is a critical application for us. We talk about making disciples for Christ. What's that look like? Well, of course, it involves baptizing and teaching people everything Jesus taught. And that there's also this element of just walking through life with people. We say, each one shepherd one, just walk alongside, because people experience a sense of failure sometimes, questions, crises, the mysteries of life that are hard to explain. Simply walking together with one another is a profoundly important way on this road to Thanksgiving. Because if we veer off and replace Christ with some other rule we make up or some other anxiety we're just dogged by and worried about, we end up discouraged, overwhelmed. You may know of the name Joshua Harris. He was a young man. He became a pastor of a pretty large church with no formal training at all. I guess he and his mentor, who was in another mega church, didn't believe in any of that. And at 21, he authored the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And it just went crazy. Bestseller. He was, you know, teaching people how not to date in the world. The idea, I mean, there were good things in it. It was partly about sexual purity before marriage, but it was also about just finding the one and courting that person. And so that kind of became his mantra. Much later, though, not that many years ago, he resigned from that church, and he was then pursuing some formal education and then recently announced he's no longer a Christian and he's divorcing his wife. And in fact, he wrote another book called I Survived, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. I'm sure this has all been very painful for him, and I'm not mocking him in saying this. It's just actually heartbreaking that I think he didn't reject Christian faith or Christ. I think he rejected a weird caricature of it. And that happens in our world. There are weird caricatures of Christian faith where you've got to know Christ, but you also have to kiss dating goodbye, or you also have to do this. You know, it's tempting sometimes to insert something else. It becomes the mantra instead of Christ and Christ himself. We can insert our anxieties, our legalisms, that prevent our roots from flourishing and our lives from building up in Christ Jesus and keeping from solid faith in Christ instead of simply trusting him. What if we just walked with Christ together? Verse 7 ends then with, then. So then follows, you keep on in the faith, you just keep on. And you let God root your life and you enjoy his presence, you celebrate him, you try to keep things out of the way that prevent his goodness from flowing in your life, then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. Then, this is what happens, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Then your faith will grow strong. The word faith can refer to the faith, that is, all that we believe about Jesus Christ, or it can also refer to the subjective experience of faith. And it's probably best to take it both ways, because we're not just bodies with brains who can intellectually get our way to thankfulness, but we have both a creed and compassion. We have both conviction and belief. So the faith, the truth, and our experience of it, we embrace it. Brian Chappell quotes Phillips Brooks, a preacher from another century. He defined faith this way. We've got a slide that depicts this. Forsaking all, I take him. Simply coming and saying, Lord Jesus, it's you. You're my foundation. You're my hope. And once again, the main thought is to just keep walking, continue in the assurance that Christ is Lord. He knows about this. He's not thrown off by what's going on in the world. He's not anxious about it. He saw it coming a millennia or more ago. He's walking with you. He loves you. You keep going. And maturity is not an instantaneous thing in our faith, but we grow. It's a series of making good decisions and sometimes needing some corrective from God's Word. And we keep on going in the Word of Christ, not instantly mature, but growing. Jesus gave a message to one of the seven churches in the Revelation of John. To the church in Sardis, he said this, go back to what you heard and believed at first. Christ. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly, as unexpected as a thief. So all of this is redirecting us just to Christ himself. Because Thanksgiving is more than a day, it's a daily walk. Now, for those of you who don't like English, I thought, what would this look like for those who love math? How many of you love math? Math. You're good at math. Go ahead. Be bold. Brave. You're the superheroes. Okay, here's an equation from a non-mathematician. Continually following Jesus times, letting our roots grow down plus our lives build up equals stronger faith times thanksgiving to the power of 10. It overflows. Okay? But it's all about this continuing, continually following Jesus, keeping on. Because Thanksgiving is more than a day, it's a daily walk with Jesus. And then this overflow comes up later in this same letter from the Apostle Paul. Listen to what he says. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Three times in those verses, thankfulness comes up. And so we nurture thankful overflow by let Christ's peace reign over us in harmony. If we're always at odds with other people, it's hard to be thankful. Pretty tough. Let Christ's message fill us and sing about it. There's this expression of letting, again, the truth of Christ sink in deeper and deeper. And then practice thankfulness in our words and our actions. Just do it. Just be thankful. That maybe that's where the brain science can kick in too, and we change our brains by giving thanks. Author Leonard Sweet wrote this, faith's dimmer switch turns in either of two directions, toward optimism or pessimism. Which way is yours turning? We're either going toward thankfulness to God or away from it by how we think, speak, and act. So how do we become people who overflow with thankfulness? How do we transform toward that? We just keep walking with Jesus each day, removing barriers to faith by letting our faith roots keep going down and our lives built up in him. Thanksgiving is so much more than a day. It's a daily walk. And I'm so thankful that it is. This is not the road to instant maturity. This is the road to continued growth in Christ. And so, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we're going to take a few moments. And if anybody's got a brief moment of majesty that you'd like to come and share with us, something Christ is doing in your life right now, then come and share it. I'm going to hold the mic so we don't get anybody's COVID germs passed around here. But is there anybody who's got a moment of majesty just to come and share with us? If not, that's okay. I know you're thinking, the turkey's burning. Anybody? Or have you had all the majesty you can handle for one day? Moment of majesty. Worship team is coming. Going once. Going twice. Sold to the lady with the mask. Oh, Maria. You can take that off.
So just a moment of gratitude of where we live in this country. 2 days ago, Dana, our son who lives in Prince Edward Island, called and said, "Mom, I cut my finger." I'm like, "Oh, but I can't move it. So do you think I cut the tendon?" "Well, possibly." But I just said, "Well, I think, you know, seeing as you're feeling fainty, you better maybe get a cab and go to the hospital." And so, of course, he was there. He waited several hours, got stitched with the instruction, "Come back tomorrow, we'll do surgery." So very thankful that in this country we live, you can simply go and ask, and on the other side of the province that you come from, other side of the country, you can have surgery, not a nickel charged. And we need to remember that gratitude towards that. And the other thing is, he started going to church again about 4 weeks ago. So thank you, God.
I'm just thankful that God's given me the means to help people when I see them needing help, and that people are willing to reach out. It's nice.
Well said. Thank you. Yeah, just to be aware of the opportunities that God has given. Got time for one more? If you run down here real fast, if not. Okay. Okay. Pew jumper, here you go.
Let it go fast.
Is he?
All right, so I work with, alongside a lot of people, with the youth group, and last year and this year, we have watched so many kids get baptized, give up their lives to Christ, literally just lay down their life. Every single Tuesday, Friday, we stand here in front of Jordan just worshiping the Lord, and I wish you could all see it each week because it is the most incredible thing I've ever watched, all these kids just completely giving up their lives to Christ.
Well said. Thanks, Susie. Come on down, Randy.
My one trip a year to the front. Thankful for Grant and Donna. It's Clergy Appreciation Month. And I know we've got Thanksgiving and turkeys and pumpkin pie and all that stuff, but we know that over this last year or two with COVID, especially on leaders in the church, it's been very difficult. And the cloak of leadership must feel very heavy at times. So I just want to pray a blessing over you. Father, I give you thanks for Grant. I thank you for him. And I pray a blessing over him, God. Would you just continue to anoint him and fill him with your spirit in the moments when he's on his knees in his home alone or walking at the top of a mountain. May you inspire him with your grace and your peace. And that would be a conduit to us receiving your love, Father. Thank you for Donna. I pray a blessing over her as well. God, would you hold her and would you continue to move in and through her life as well as their three children. God, protect them. May they find an oasis at their home and may they be able to find peace and rest there. And thank you for Jordan and Christy as well, Lord, as they take leadership in this church as well. So we just ask you to bless them in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Randy. Thank you. Well, we will invite our worship team to lead us in this expression and affirmation of faith.
We're going to keep looking at Jesus. So would you stand and sing with us?